Welcome to Conversations. On today's program, how can healthcare facilities improve the way they operate? Industry expert Mark Graben talks about an innovation that has Japanese roots. Then, what can animals teach us about health and the science of healing? My guest on this issue is cardiology professor Dr. Barbara Natterson-Horowitz. I'm Liz Summers, and thanks for spending some time with us this weekend. Join us as we look at issues that affect individuals, families, our community, and the nation. First up is Mark Graben and improvements in the healthcare sector with an innovation called Healthcare Kaizen. Hello, Mark. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks, Liz. It's great to be here.
Healthcare organizations are under incredible pressure to improve quality and reduce costs, but improving quality and reducing costs can be daunting and seemingly impossible when you look at trying to solve the problem all at once. My guest today says that once you understand that every single person can be part of the solution, the problem becomes more manageable. And the solution or method of improvement he's referring to is actually a Japanese-based principle called Kaizen. We're going to talk about why it's so effective at creating positive change, in this instance in the healthcare field, with Mark Graben. Mark is a consultant, author, keynote speaker, and blogger in the world of lean healthcare. His website is HCKaizen, KAIZEN.com. First of all, Mark, tell us a little bit more about this principle of Kaizen. And as I mentioned, its origin is Japanese, but what is it a little bit more fully, and how was it created?
Well, sure, and thanks for asking about Kaizen. The word is Japanese. I think the principles are actually far more universal than that across cultures and across different types of workplaces. The word Kaizen, if you look at the two parts of the word in Japanese, basically means change and good. So we talk about any change for the better could be considered Kaizen. But the principle and the philosophy really refers to what we'd often refer to as continuous improvement, and the type of improvements that everybody in an organization can participate in. In our book, Healthcare Kaizen, we have examples of frontline staff, nurses, laboratory technologists, housekeeping staff, and we have examples of Kaizen that are done by senior leaders in the organization. So when Kaizen is for everybody and everybody has the chance to make improvements, when we have a culture and a climate that really allows that to happen and allows that to thrive, we really get a lot of great improvements for the patients, improving quality and cost, and it creates a much more rewarding and engaging workplace for everybody who's there.
The notion of Kaizen, and tell me if you think I'm on the right track here, at least my knowledge of it, is that small continual steps over time lead to big results, and the steps aren't so big that people go into overwhelm.
Yeah, and people do, I think, sometimes get intimidated if they think they're trying to solve everything that ails healthcare with one big major improvement. If we want to use a baseball analogy, people are trying to hit a home run. And that can really hamper creativity. That can just be intimidating. And people often say things like, I'm not that creative, or I don't have big, huge ideas. So when you take the pressure off people, when you focus on all of the little things, if it saves a few seconds here or there for a patient or for a staff member, focusing on small changes helps get people started. It takes the pressure off. Mm-hmm. And then as people learn how to go through this improvement cycle, and Kaizen, one of the things Kaizen is based on is the scientific method, which a lot of people in healthcare are familiar with. You identify a problem, you pose a hypothesis, and then we test to see if that change works. So it takes the pressure off, for one, because people aren't as intimidated by small changes. They get used to this approach. They build more confidence and enthusiasm. And then I think the other key is that because things are posed as an experiment, not all changes turn out to be improvements. And we want to create a culture where if somebody had an idea and it seemed well thought out and we tried it, and it didn't work quite the way we expected, or it created some sort of side effect, that's not considered a failure. That's more of something to learn from. And if we take some of that pressure off, where we're not just wildly trying all sorts of random things, but we're not so scared that we need to be 100% confident that an idea is going to work, then we really won't be, we really won't try anything.
Sure. Why is it important for healthcare facilities to have their frontline staff involved in this?
Well, there's a number of reasons. Starting with the patient, there are a lot of studies, and beyond studies, I've seen this in the workplace, where increased staff engagement leads to better outcomes for patients. both directly and indirectly. Happier staff who are eliminating roadblocks from their day and participating in improvement generally are in better spirits, and that leads to better interactions with patients, higher patient satisfaction levels because they gauge the organization and the staff to be friendlier and more helpful. But then there's also a lot of studies that would draw a strong correlation between staff engagement and patient outcomes. When staff aren't as stressed out, staff tend not to make as many errors, for example, medication errors or other things that can harm patients. So a lot of it really comes down to doing better for the patient. But then, hospitals and healthcare organizations are under a lot of pressure.
And are incredibly complex.
Well, they're complex environments. Everyone is under pressure to reduce costs for the healthcare system. And, engaging people in that process can really both directly reduce costs in the way people do their work. But if staff are happier and they're less likely to quit and leave the organization, turnover costs of hiring new staff and training them are much lower, and that can save a lot of money.
Or on the other side of the fence, how do you get management to embrace Kaizen, the mindset for this, for example, because in part or in theory, they would have to relinquish a bit of their control by giving more autonomy to employees who are on the front lines?
You're right. And, that can be scary for some managers who are used to having, control over every decision that's made in their department. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important for senior leaders in an organization to help set expectations for middle managers and frontline managers that when their people have great ideas and when their employees are participating in Kaizen, that's a positive reflection on the manager. Mm-hmm. That if employees have ideas, that doesn't mean the manager's not doing their job. So it's part of that culture shift that has to happen to really get people engaged in Kaizen.
When you present this to a facility, or if you go in to talk to everybody about it, not just the management, what's the reaction? What's the reception to this? I mean, sounds in a way so common sense. What is the reaction to the Kaizen principle or mindset?
You're right. On one level, it sounds like common sense, but at the same time, it flies in the face of a lot of what we're taught in school or what encouraged in our early years in the workplace. So there's some bad habits that develop. One idea is that higher level managers or people with more education are the ones who have to have all the answers. And with Kaizen, we emphasize that everybody, regardless of their education level, is an expert in the work that they do. Housekeeping staff has a different level of education than a nurse, but they're both the experts in their own job. One thing that is, it makes sense, but is not practiced as widely as it can be. But then, I'll tell you, the other reaction people often have would be to say, well, this all makes sense, but we don't have the time. We're too busy. We're too stressed out. This Kaizen process means that managers are spending more time working with their staff members, their employees, and with other managers. It takes time, and so we have to view that as maybe the first challenge we need to address, as opposed to letting that be an excuse, because we can't afford to let things just keep going the way they are in healthcare right now.
Give us some examples of how, in situations that you have been involved in, healthcare facilities you've been involved in, and where some of these small changes, small continuous changes, have really given big results. Maybe it's in the area of patient safety. Maybe it's reducing medical mistakes. Maybe it's just fostering a collaborative atmosphere. Give us a couple examples.
Well, sure. So, looking at quality and patient safety, trying to prevent infections, one I think classic example of a small Kaizen improvement would be, nurses or staff in a unit seeing that when a patient has to go to the bathroom, and if they have an IV bag, that, we opened this new hospital facility and we don't have any place on the wall for patients to hang their IV bags. We don't want them to set the bag on the floor or do anything that would be unsanitary, unhygienic. So a classic Kaizen improvement would be just to make the simple change of installing some simple hooks on the wall. Mm-hmm. That's something that would be identified by staff and very quickly put into place because something like that would be so important for patients. Very small expense, very big impact.
Mm-hmm. What would, in your view, looking if you had the crystal ball, what would a Kaizen culture look like if we could get this adopted on a broad scale?
Well, I think the potential for this is huge. If we look at extrapolating results from organizations that have really embraced Kaizen, my co-author for the book, he's with the healthcare system in Indianapolis. And last year alone, they implemented more than 4,000 small improvements.
Wow.
And the financial impact, and this is a very, very conservative estimate, you know, they're on pace so they save about $2 million per year. That's a conservative estimate because they don't, it's really hard sometimes to calculate, dollars saved from each specific Kaizen improvement. So when you look at the hospital's bottom line, you know, if they are more profitable, they're able to reinvest that into better patient care. You know, we're looking at an opportunity of, you know, billions and billions of dollars across the country and many lives saved in terms of medical mistakes, infections that can be prevented through these simple Kaizen practices. You know, it's bad news that we have a lot of problems in healthcare, but I think the good news is that the solutions don't involve more and more medical training. You know, the medical training is fine, but it's all of the little workplace practices where hospitals and getting people to focus more on that really means we can make a lot of improvements if we focus on it and if we put the time into it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really seems like Kaizen could fit any industry, any business.
Right. Well, I think we would say it has its roots in manufacturing.
Sure.
But you have healthcare organizations using Kaizen. Starbucks is teaching Kaizen to their employees at their stores around North America and around the world. You have software companies, even small startup companies, and in some cases relatively large companies, that are teaching this Kaizen philosophy. And I think the thing that's pretty universal, and I've seen Kaizen being taught and applied in Canada and England and the Netherlands and in many countries around the world, that the thing that's universal is that everybody, again, is, the expert in their own work. So asking people to improve, focusing on their customer, focusing on making things easier in their own work, that's something that really does apply in a lot of different settings.
If you would like to learn more about the work of my guest today, Mark Graben, you can go to this website, hckaizen.com. Mark, thanks so much for coming on the program today.
Oh, thanks, Liz. My pleasure.